Thank you so very much for tuning in to the SGT Report podcast. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. So on Friday, May 6th, renowned investor Paul Tudor Jones appeared on CNBC and he said, "Now is not the time to own stocks or bonds. With inflation running at its highest rate in 40 years, do you really want that kind of volatility and uncertainty? If you've been jumping from one investment idea to the next, a gold IRA with Noble Gold might be perfect for you. A reliable hedge against inflation is exactly what we need. And with gold, you'll shield your gains from taxes. You'll keep the real value of your wealth, and you'll own a global asset, something tangible, and you can help protect your wealth against an economic crash. What's not to like? And this month, for every IRA opened above $20,000, you'll get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin, completely free as a thank you. Call 877-646-5347 to find out more, or visit noblegoldinvestments.com.
My family came there 5 generations ago in 1877, and we, from the very beginning, began running cattle and sheep and horses, and we established property rights. These are legitimate property rights. They can be sold, they can be transferred, they can be borrowed against, they can be inherited, and they're deeded with the state of Nevada. And the federal government tried to come in and just take those and act like they didn't exist. And it was interesting because it was a BLM agent that said it. And this is the way he said it. He said, if you resist in any way, they will kill you. The they, which we found out later, and why they were hiding these files, was the FBI HRT team, the same team that went into Waco, the same team that did Ruby Ridge, the same team that killed Lavoie Finicum. They were coming, and when the BLM agent said, "They will kill you," that's who he was talking about.
Friends, that was Ammon Bundy, a shining example of a true patriot willing to stand up to government tyranny. And he's running for governor in the great state of Idaho. This is a powerful and important interview that I hope you all spread far and wide. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Did you know that 100,000 Cubans are using Bitcoin in response to U.S. sanctions? And cryptocurrencies as a whole are growing faster than the adoption of the internet? You can earn hundreds of thousands of dollars investing in crypto. And did you know that if you do it right, you don't have to pay cap gains tax on it? Open a Roth crypto IRA with My Digital Money now to take advantage of it. You will pay based on your contribution and nothing on your capital gains. If Ethereum or Chainlink doubles or Bitcoin surges to a new high, you could easily be doubling your investments. My Digital Money's US-based phone support is always ready to answer your questions. And you know what's better? They will give you a free $50 in credit if you fund your My Digital Money crypto IRA account with at least $1,000. And when you're ready for retirement, no capital gains tax. Go to mydigitalmoney.com now. mydigitalmoney.com. Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. Thank you so very much for tuning in. Look, in a time of universal deceit, what we really hunger for is justice. And to that end, we need patriots who are willing to stand in the gap and stand up for our freedoms. I can think of no better example of a man willing to do that than Ammon Bundy, who is running for governor of Idaho as an independent. Ammon, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on. If you don't mind, in a second, I want to play the first 90 seconds of your website's campaign video, because it powerfully sums up really everything I want to share as part of the introduction here. But also, if you don't mind, I want to play this clip from Yellowstone first. This is Kevin Costner explaining to his youngest son, you can't reason with evil. And friends, I don't think there's a better example of a real life Yellowstone situation than what happened with the standoff against the FBI and the BLM and the Bundy Ranch land. Here's Yellowstone's Kevin Costner.
You can't reason with evil, son. Evil wants what it wants. It won't stop until it's won or you kill it.
I hesitate to play such a clip because obviously that's Hollywood fiction, and no one on our side would ever call for violence. But it has been the apparatus of the government that has proceeded against people like Ammon Bundy and his father with violence. So with that all said, I want to play the first 90 seconds of the campaign video from Ammon Bundy. And then we'll talk about politics in Idaho, tyranny, and how you can support this patriot running for governor.
I'm Ammon Bundy, and I'm running for governor of the great state of Idaho. I won't bore you with the typical platitudes from politicians about how they're strong conservatives and how they support small business and education and all that. Nor will I pose in a hard hat at some random work site talking to workers. Nor will I show you pictures of me reading books to little children. I'm running for governor because I'm sick and tired of all the political garbage, just like you are. I'm tired of our freedoms being taken from us, and I'm tired of the corruption that is rampant in our state government. And look, let's be real. Joe Biden and those in the deep state that control him will simply not be able to help themselves. They're going to try to take away our gun rights, freedom of religion, parental rights, and more, and further violate the Constitution in unimaginable ways, even more than they've already done. We cannot afford to have state leadership that lets the federal government bully us or walk all over us. And it is an unfair fight when the federal government unlawfully attacks the people. Believe me, I know, as my family and I experienced this firsthand. When we were unlawfully attacked by federal officials at our family ranch in Nevada in 2014, we did not back down. And thankfully, like-minded patriots across the country stood with us as we fought back against federal tyranny to protect our land and our rights. I'm running for governor to bring that same vigor and willingness to stand for what is right to the state of Idaho. Because we know that the federal government under Joe Biden and the existing establishment will continue their onslaught against the people. And we simply can't afford to have leadership in our state back down and comply with federal tyranny.
I'll pause it right there. Ammon, I'm coming back to you. What an inspirational figure you are. Welcome to the show.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I'll try to continue to be. Anyway, I'm looking forward to our conversation and answering any questions you have and just having a good talk.
Well, I appreciate your time today. I'll mention that Wendy, your campaign manager, is also on the line, but she just wants to listen in. Wendy, I'll invite you to unmute and jump in if you feel motivated to do so at any point. Do you want to just frame up for the audience? Help us remember what that standoff was all about with the Bureau of Land Management and the FBI. How did it come to be so confrontational?
Well, I mean, you know, it's a long story, but my family's been ranching in that area since 1877. I'm the fifth generation. You know, my father owns the ranch, and I think it's, you know, pretty close to 150 years we've been there now, give or take a few years. And ultimately what happened was the extreme environmentalists have infiltrated our federal land agencies, Bureau of Land Management, U.S. Forest Service, U.S. Park Service, you know, the list goes on, and they've done it to push their, basically their extreme environmentalist theology. And, I mean, I guess I go into a little bit of detail here, but, Harry Reid, along with, you know, whatever president at the time, I think it ended up being Obama eventually, but although he started this before him, was working with a Chinese corporation to put in the largest solar farm in the United States. And that ended up being about 70 miles from my father's ranch. Well, the environmentalists, extreme environmentalists in these land agencies said, well, if you're going to put that solar farm in, then you've got to take all the wildlife out of that area and put them in a mitigation area. And they decided where they were going to make my father's ranch after 140 plus years, they're going to make that ranch the mitigation area, and mostly for the desert tortoise. The problem is my dad owns rights to it. He has 11 rights deeded with the state of Nevada. Their grazing rights, their livestock watering rights. Those rights were established clear back in the 1800s, long before the Bureau of Land Management was even around, and they just want to disregard those rights and say, well, it's our land, which is completely unconstitutional. They said, well, it's our land and we own everything, so you have to go. And my dad was like, no, I'm not. And there was a legal battle that ensued in the federal courts, and there was a tremendous amount of corruption. And ultimately, my dad just was not going to yield his rights that he knew for sure he had and understood and were deeded and documented for, you know, over a century. He wasn't going to yield those and give them up. And so they sent an army. They basically made a military type plan and built a military type base about 5 miles from our ranch on the range, and began, you know, locked down the ranch with guards and arms. It was like a scene out of the Hollywood movie Red Dawn. And they began to kill the cattle from helicopters, burying them in mass graves, destroy the water infrastructure. That's, you know, most of that's over 100 years old, a good part of it anyway, and began to also destroy the corrals. And meanwhile, they're said that, you know, they had guards, snipers on the hills around the ranch home and all of that, and said if we resisted in any way, that this would be another Waco or Ruby Ridge. So that kind of sets up the scenario, and that's where we ended up in 2014.
Well, it just is such an inspirational story, because patriots around the state and country rallied to your aid, showing us very succinctly and tangibly that we the people have the power, because what you guys endured, what your family endured, was an act of federal terror, absolute federal terrorism. And my question is, where was the state governor? Where was your state's rights protection in the state of Idaho to come to your defense?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking that, because that's how it was designed by our founders, to stop this type of federal tyranny. The state was designed to say, hey, look, you don't have jurisdiction over property, over water, over land and resources inside our state. So, you know, these people have deeds with the state of Nevada. You can't just take them. But the problem was, is our governor did make a statement, because he didn't like the use of force. And he knew that the federal government was losing the PR battle. So he made a statement just kind of saying, you know, we don't like this. But he did nothing to protect us and left us exposed for the federal government. And we end up having to, you know, appeal to the people and show them through video and documentation and everything what the truth was. And finally, they respond. And so I appreciate you asking that question. And basically, the sheriff, the county sheriff, he's a very powerful sheriff. He's got 1,800 deputies, because he covers the Las Vegas area. And also the governor, both said that they were going to take a neutral position in this matter. And the reason why is because they have received millions and millions of dollars from the federal government. They rely on the federal government to every year to receive millions of dollars, billions even amasses on a state level. And they didn't want to basically protect the people because of this flow of federal money coming down into them.
So maybe I misheard you. You might need to restate. The sheriff with 1,800 deputies, to me, I find that really inspirational. Is that a constitutional sheriff that had your back then? Or no, is he one of the people sort of on the take?
Well, he was definitely on the take. And my dad really called him out and put him, you know, in the spotlight. So he had to make a decision. And ultimately what happened was, is the sheriff went and hid himself under the table. He was just afraid of the situation. And one of the chief deputy actually came out, and on his own, I know that he was reprimanded for this privately, but he is a hero. He came out and basically, he basically did what the sheriff's supposed to, and ultimately gave the people's, you know, desire and ordered the federal agents to leave. And, with the people there and amassing and all of that, these federal agents were glad to leave by the end of the week. They left in 107 vehicles. And ultimately, there was about 213 federal agents that were in this operation.
Unbelievable. Well, I want people to know, too, that the federal government had promised another Waco or Ruby Ridge if these patriots didn't stand down. And unfortunately, this event did not end without a death. We can talk about the death of Lavoie Finicum in a moment, but let me do a screen share. Please help me unpack this. Frontline. I haven't watched this from PBS, but believe me, I know who PBS is. I know the propaganda they peddle. Unfortunately, my mother-in-law gets all her news from PBS. That does not help us out when it comes to political conversations. American Patriot inside the armed uprising against the federal government from Frontline. Help me unpack that. This was not an uprising against the federal government. This was patriots standing up for their rights, period. Full stop.
This is a very pure thing. My family came there 5 generations ago in 1877. And we, from the very beginning, began running cattle and sheep and horses. And we established property rights. These are legitimate property rights. They can be sold. They can be transferred. They can be borrowed against. They can be inherited, put in a will. These are real property. They're property. They are grazing rights and water rights, and they're deeded with the state of Nevada. And the federal government tried to come in and just take those and act like they didn't exist. And, you know, people realized what was going on, and, hundreds and then thousands of people came just to surround my father and family and myself and my brothers, sisters, and all of that, to make sure the federal government was not going to commit another Waco or Ruby Ridge, which is what they promised. And it was interesting because it was a BLM agent that said it. And this is the way he said it. He said, if you resist in any way, they will kill you. And it took us several years, including 2 years of incarcerated in federal prison after. And then, of course, you may know, we beat them on every charge. Our case was dismissed. They tried to cover up over 3,800 files of exculpatory evidence during our case. And anyway, make a long story short, they, which we found out later, and why they were hiding these files, was the FBI HRT team, the same team that went into Waco, the same team that did Ruby Ridge, the same team that killed Lavoie Finicum. They were coming, and when the BLM agent said, they will kill you, that's who he was talking about. If we resisted it anyway, this FBI HRT team, hostage rescue team, will kill you. They're kind of the elite special forces for the FBI. And the interesting thing is all these 5 federal agencies that were part of this destruction of my father's ranch, they all tried to hide all the evidence, all the files, any testimony, anybody who saw and wrote, talked about it. They tried to completely cover up and wipe that the FBI HRT team was there and leading the charge.
Wow. I did not know about the HRT team of the FBI. When you first said that, I started to think, what does that stand for? Hit recon team? I mean, because I know at Waco, these agents were shooting. There's infrared footage of agents shooting at the back door of Waco as babies and moms were trying to escape the flames.
Well, you see them, I mean, you see them climbing on the building. You see all this, and they weren't being shot at that time. Anyway, there's just too much evidence to believe that it was all the fault of the, those in that building. So anyway, I just know for sure what happened at the Bundy Ranch in 2014, and they threatened that this would be another Waco or Ruby Ridge, and a BLM agent said, they will kill you. And I'm certain he was talking about not the other BLM agents, not these land, these little security guards that run around, rangers and so forth. He was talking about this team that had done this many times before from the FBI. And he knew that they were the same team that had, were involved in the Waco, and the same team that was all involved in Ruby Ridge.
Wow. Well, in a minute, I want to play, believe it or not, a clip from Henry Thomas's audition for the movie E.T. And the reason I want to do that is because I want everybody to understand how we've all been indoctrinated and propagandized to, in Hollywood movies, to respect the authority of the federal government. This is a really powerful clip. I'll play it in a minute. But let me ask you this. Was it the patriots that turned out in mass that helped save your ranch and helped save you and your family from the federal government? And does that not speak to our power as sovereign human beings? Because I believe that's all part of the Great Awakening, Ammon. We're all starting to remember our history and recognize the fact that men and women on the land are sovereign.
Yes, it absolutely was. You know, I've learned since, you know, during that time that this is how we are going to preserve liberty. Rights are going to be claimed. They're going to be recognized and understood. And then they're going to be used. People are going to continue to use them. And when others try to come and take them, especially those that are in quote unquote authority, when they come to take them, people are going to have to unite to defend them. And I have come to understand that that is how rights have always been maintained, how they've always been secured. That's how they were secured when this nation was established. Historically, that's always how they've been secured. And we've been duped to believe that we maintain our rights or secure our rights in the ballot box or in the courtroom. And that's just not true. There's other things that go on in the ballot box in the courtroom that are important. There's also a lot of corruption that goes on there. But rights have never been maintained in the ballot box or the courtroom. They've been always maintained on the grounds in which they were established, with people claiming them, using them, and defending them. And when they can't defend them their own themselves, then they call upon their neighbors and friends and family and community to surround them to defend them. And historically, that is the only way, and it is the only way in which rights are preserved. That's the reason why we created this nation. That's the reason why we created states. That is the reason why we have, you know, these entities and jurisdictions. It is to secure rights so that there can be a power there that's strong enough to combat those that try to take rights. The problem is now those entities have been corrupted.
All right, I'll do a screen share here, guys. I've been saving this clip to play it in this interview. You guys might think this is a little nuts, but I think it's really on point. It is from the audition for the movie E.T. Okay, this is a Spielberg movie, Henry Thomas auditioning. And by the way, I'd have given the kid the job too. This is just a phenomenal acting job. But listen to the language coming from the government official and just apply it to the federal government taking away your land for whatever reason.
And there's a knock on your door and a man comes in, a grown man, not your brother. And he's from NASA, you know, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. And he has found out that you have a creature. He doesn't know exactly what he has found out. You have a creature in your closet, a creature that he's been looking for a long time. And you've had this creature now for 3 or 4 weeks. You become best friends with it. He wants to take the creature away. And he's come with a search warrant and he's come with permission to take the creature away. And you're not going to let him.
Now, young man, I understand that you have an alien somewhere in this house. Is that true? Well, is it true? Is there an alien in this house?
Yes, sir.
Well, as you know, I'm from the government. I'm part of the United States government, and I am empowered to take that alien with me.
But you can't take him away. He's mine.
Well, but the government is bigger than you are, Elliot, and I have all the authority to take him, and I got to tell you, I'm going to take him.
Can't take him.
Well, I'm afraid I have to, son.
Can't take him away, he's mine!
But it's not my choice. The president asked me to come here to get him.
I don't care what the president says, he's my best friend, and you can't take him away!
Well, it's real possible, Elliot, that he'll come back, and you can have him again. But we just want to talk to him and see where it came from and try to find out about other planets. And he probably is the key to a lot of things that we have to know.
But how do I know you're going to bring him back?
Well, afraid, son, I can't guarantee it.
I think he's afraid of you.
That may be true, but the government tells me what to do, and I just follow their orders.
Well, he's mine, and he lives with me, and he likes me. And he wants to stay here. He likes it here.
Oh, we wouldn't hurt him or anything. All we want to do is talk to him.
But I don't want you to take him away.
You know, I've had to talk to your mom about it. She knows that the government has the right to do it.
You guys get the idea. At the end, Spielberg says, okay, kid, you got the job. It's quite the audition from Henry Thomas. Great movie, but honest to God, 100% propaganda. I'm here from the government and I have the authority to take him, and I'm going to take him. And that's exactly what they're doing to people like you and your family. Coming for your land, I'm here from the government, and resistance is futile.
Yeah, that's interesting because, you know, we had to rely on the Constitution heavily and still do to try to help people understand that the government has limitations. One of those limitations is owning land inside the states, that there's very specific authorities and permissions that grant them land, and it's very minimal when it comes to land inside the states. And so, you know, we've said it over and over and over again, and that's, you know, that's what the Constitution does. It limits the federal government from just becoming that power that everybody has to yield to. You know, thankfully people understood that enough to come around my family. Otherwise, I know that I would not be alive right now. They would have taken our life as they promised to do, because we had to resist. And it was because so many people came around and did that with us that they didn't take our lives.
Well, in remembrance of Lavoie Finicum, could you help us just remember Lavoie and why did it come to his shooting? That didn't have to happen. Where did that unfold in the timeline? And why did the HRT team take out Lavoie Finicum? They literally shot him in cold blood.
So what happened was, after the Bundy Ranch and we were able to get the cattle, they didn't kill. They killed about 60 head of cattle. We got the rest of them, put them back on the range. 27 of them, their mothers were killed. And so we had to just bottle feed the babies. We went back to ranching. I went back to my life. My dad went back to his, and we kind of tried to get life back to normal. But what happened was, is we began to see what was happening to our family happening all over the country. And there was a family by the name of the Hammonds family, that the same thing was happening to them, very similar. The only difference was it was a U.S. Fish and Game that was doing it, another land agency filled with extreme environmentalists that were doing it to them and trying to take their ranch. And so we went up there to help them, and we got international attention in Oregon of what was happening to them. And we began to go to all over the counties and all over the areas and communicate with the people of the counties. And we were headed to Grant County, Oregon. The sheriff was going to meet with us. It was probably 300 or 400 people that we were going to meet. And we were exposing these things of what was going on. And on our way over the pass, they were headed from Harney County to Grant County, Oregon. There's a space there where you lose cell service. And we lost cell service. We didn't think a whole lot about it. And the FBI and Oregon State Police had planned an ambush. And they ambushed us there. And to make a long story short, they had a dead man's roadblock, which stopped Lavoie's vehicle. Lavoie got out. Before we got to the roadblock, they began to open fire on our vehicle. And there was two vehicles. I was in the back and Lavoie's vehicle was in the front. And so they began to open fire. Lavoie stopped. He got stuck in the snow there, and he gets out and he has his hands in the air as he's saying, shoot me, because he's trying to draw fire from the vehicle. Because there was my brother and two other women in the vehicle. And he walks out, he's in the snow, so he's kind of stumbling around because it's a pretty deep amount of snow. And he goes around and he turns, and they shot him in the back 3 times with his hands in the air and left him to die in the snow. And then they arrested my brother, myself, and all of us. and went on kind of a big rampage of arresting people, trying to prosecute us for what happened in Nevada and for, you know, Oregon. And ultimately, I mean, to make a very, very long story short, ultimately, we were found not guilty in Oregon on all charges. They sent us down to Nevada, and we finally, it took us 2 years to finally get to trial down there. And that's when we exposed all this corruption and the 3,800 files that they were hiding, and the FBI HRT team's involvement. And finally, it got so, you know, so much corruption and so much exposure that the judge had to dismiss our case with prejudice. Awesome. And it was upheld by the Ninth Circuit. And we were able to finally go home after 2 years in federal prison. But they killed Lavoie Finicum and shot him in the back 3 times with his hands in the air.
Yeah. God rest his soul. I just wanted to call attention to Lavoie's name and have a moment to remember him, because there are so many patriots like yourself standing in the gap, standing up to this federal tyranny. And I do want to ask you about United Nations Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, the attack on our food supplies, the attack on cattle ranchers, the attack on our food supply, all of it in a minute. But as the independent governor of Idaho, what would you do? What are some of the first things you would do upon being governor? If I could wave a magic wand and just get rid of so much tyranny, what would I do? What would you do as governor? Friends, thanks so much for tuning in to SGT Report. This is a good time for a quick word about our sponsor. Friends, now is the time to prepare, as inflation is upon us. And a gold IRA with Noble Gold might just be perfect for you. A reliable hedge against inflation. And with gold, you'll own a global asset, something tangible at a time where collapse appears to be right around the corner. And this month, for every IRA above $20,000, you'll get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin completely free as a thank you. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold. Call 877-646-5347 now to find out more, or visit noblegoldinvestments.com.
Well, an overgeneralized statement is, you know, minimize the power and influence and cost of the state government. I do plan on, you know, answering that question of abortion. I don't believe that I could go a day and have abortion legal. I don't want that to be on my shoulders and my responsibilities. I plan on fighting this land issues, where we're going to take back our land. 61% of the land in Idaho and 72% of the subsurface mineral rights are controlled by the federal government. So 61% of our land, almost 33 million acres in Idaho, are controlled by the federal government. It's causing our affordable housing crisis because we're landlocked. It's causing where we can't harvest our own forests, and our building materials and are just crazy. We're not able to pay our own bills. Idaho is not able to pay its own bills. We have to rely on the federal government to pay them. And yet we're resource rich. And I'll give you a good example of that, and of why I'm going to fight this battle and how I believe we must fight this battle. Because Idaho has one of the largest cobalt deposits in the United States, the largest actually in the United States. Yet the federal government claims control of that, and they lease the mining rights to an Australian company. And the Australian companies come into Idaho and they're mining that. They're making tons of money. They're paying the federal government tons of money. And the people of Idaho get nothing for it. Nothing. And so then in return, we have to go to the federal government and beg them for money to pay our own bills. They made money off the land and resources in Idaho. We don't get, because it's held out of our hands. And now we have to beg them to pay our own bills. And I plan on fighting that fight. Just generally, as the executive of the executive branch, the governor is, that's where most of your bureaucracies are. That's where most of the spending is. And I will go through the bureaucracies and trimming and minimizing and correcting the bureaucracies in a way that will be very, very beneficial to the people. And we have what we call the Keep Idaho, Idaho plan. I've outlined all of this in detail. And encourage people to go to votebundy.com and go to my Keep Idaho, Idaho plan for the details of what I'm talking about and what I'm planning on doing.
Excellent. All right. I'll leave that link below. I identify with what you're saying in terms of corporations or the government, well, corporations specifically, benefiting from this fascist tactic that the government uses. Sort of a related example would be Lake Michigan. Nestle is allowed to pull out all the water they want out of Lake Michigan to make bottled water that they then sell back to the people, disguised as brands like Arrowhead, Poland Springs, San Pellegrino, Perrier. They own all of it, and so much of that water comes out of Lake Michigan virtually for free. So it really is a corporatocracy. And that's the Mussolini classic definition of fascism, Ammon. The government and corporations essentially intertwined as one.
Well, you're exactly right. And the Republicans are the ones that are basically using the government to profit. And the Democrats want to use the government to force their ideology and theology upon the people, their way of life. And the two of them together have become very dangerous. Now, I mean, I've been a registered Republican most of my life. I voted Republican, you know, but the reality is they're both very, very destructive and have been very destructive. One just wants to profit and use the government for an advantage, for corporate advantage. And the other one wants to use it to force their ideology through, you know, statute upon the people. And both of them are extremely destructive to liberty and ultimately will destroy this country if they're not stopped.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Another example of what we're talking about, of course, is the FDA and Pfizer Moderna, in my words, a bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine, and the FCC with 5G and no testing being done about the safety of 5G. So the FCC essentially in the pocket of Verizon and AT&T, et cetera. Okay, well, let me ask you this. This attack on our nation will continue from the likes of George Soros, the World Economic Forum, et cetera. Klaus Schwab has said and continues to say, in the future, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. What they're doing is they're rolling out United Nations Agenda 2030 policies. It used to be called United Nations Agenda 21, but I don't quite think they got where they thought they'd get by 2021. So now it's UN Agenda 2030. By 2030, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. How do we stop this? You've given us some concrete examples, certainly, as you guys and Patriots stood up against BLM and FBI. But how do we stop this? Because the forces aligned against us and our puppet president are unrelenting.
Yeah, so, I mean, the only reason why, you know, 2021 or 2030 haven't been fully implemented is just simply because the people haven't quite got to where they wanted. But this agenda is a documented agenda. Hopefully your viewers, you know, have understand this is not conspiracy at all. They're very open about this agenda, about driving the people to the cities, about controlling all the land and resources. And ultimately, it is driven by an extreme environmentalist agenda, which is an anti-human agenda. And I could go into, you know, I've studied it in great detail. I could, you know, very clearly explain how and why and what their ideology is, but basically is an anti-God, anti-human theology. And, you know, our founders understood that people were going to be corrupt. People were going to be wicked. They were going to do these things. And so they believe that power should have been distributed as much as possible, including the land and the resources, the power control of government. It should be distributed. And that's why they had states and we had counties and why ultimately the people held the power and are the sovereign. And so we have to go back to that. We have to understand that there was these mechanisms like the state of Idaho, that was supposed to be there to protect and be a power strong enough to protect and stop these people in their wicked plans or even in their good intentions. And so, you know, that's why I am doing what I'm doing. I believe that Idaho has a political climate that would elect somebody like me, and I will not tolerate the federal government or the UN or any of these extreme environmentalist groups, whether they're by some organization or whether they have governmental power, as they think. I will not tolerate them coming in and trampling upon the people of Idaho's rights. I will protect our land and resources. I will protect our families. I will protect our livelihood and our right to trade, our right to worship, our right to travel. And that those are all things that the state must do. We must have them do it. And if they will not, then the people must unite in another fashion, in another way, and just completely reject these things and protect themselves from them.
All right, we're going to go to the website here, guys. And this is the man to support, votebundy.com. COVID, how it should have been handled by the governor. Let's talk about that, because as we're speaking, just coming up May 22nd through the 28th is a conference where the World Health Organization will try to usurp the sovereignty of the United States should there be another pandemic. And we're not going to stand for it. I don't think DeSantis would stand for it. I don't think that you as governor of Idaho would stand for it. Do I have that right? Because I don't think governing via fiat and global government is going to fly in this country. I think too many people are awake.
Yeah. However, you're right. But the Biden administration and those who control him, they are going to give it up and they're going to make it look like it's legitimate. They're going to sign the, you know, contracts, the agreement, the whatever they want to call that, the treaty that will say that in the case of a global pandemic, that a certain jurisdiction outside the United States is going to be able to have power and to rule and to make those decisions. The federal government, our federal government, will sign those things right now, the Biden administration. And so then it's going to look legitimate, like when they began to try to implement these things in the states and upon the people, it's going to look like a legitimate thing that went on. And the only ones that are going to stop it is the people or the states and the people. So, I mean, think about the impacts of that. That's why, you know, the possibility of getting control of the states. And I think DeSantis is a great example of that. It is the mechanism that our founders understood could change the entire realm when it comes to federal or international tyranny. And it's very important that we understand that. Otherwise, the people are left to themselves to defend themselves. And if they don't unite in a powerful enough way, in a strong enough way, and have the resources themselves, we enter into a darkness that is probably greater than any other darkness, any other tyranny, any other oppression that's ever been, reported or recorded in history.
Well, that's right. Yuval Noah Harari, who's the right hand of Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum, has said surveillance will now go under the skin, and it is a dictator's dream. Whereas governments in the past have only been able to surveil outside the skin, now they have the technology to surveil under the skin, and humans will no longer have free will as we become gods. Those are literally the words coming from that demon's mouth. All right, couple final questions. Yeah. I empathize with kind of what you described about the housing situation in Idaho. I'll share this anecdotal story. I saw a video that was brought up on my YouTube feed by, I think it was a local news media outlet in Idaho, not sure where, but they were reporting about the most overvalued house prices. Guess where? And of course, your mind immediately goes to Florida. And I'll say number two was Naples, Florida on this list. Number one, Boise, Idaho. I was so shocked by that. I said to my wife and my son, who were in the kitchen after I watched that video, I said, I will pay $100 cash to either of you if you can answer this question. What city is the most overvalued in terms of house prices? And I said, you'll never, ever in a million years guess. To which my wife then thought, must not be Florida, must not be San Francisco. And I swear to God, she said, Boise, Idaho. I couldn't believe it. I just literally couldn't believe it. It was a one in a million guess. But yeah, do you worry about the state remaining red when so many people are fleeing California to come to a place like Idaho?
So statistically, and I'll give it right down to it, 4.91 years statistically, we will be controlled by the Democrats if we do not change what we're doing. So right around 5 years, the Democrats will control the Idaho elections if we do not change the way we're doing things, because I mean, I can go into the details and why, but ultimately, yeah, we're creating the, what we call a hunger game syndrome, what I call a hunger game syndrome, where the people are being forced to the city They can't make a living out in the rural areas because the federal government is controlling our land and resources. They're not allowing anything to, you know, to prosper out in the rural areas. So everybody's having to go to the cities. It's become densely populated. It's been overpriced. And it's also beginning to control the political, basically, dynamic in Idaho. And it's something that's a reality. That's what we're facing. And it doesn't seem that the Republicans in Idaho that are, quote unquote, supposed to be conservative care about this, but it's right in front of our face. We are literally losing our state, our conservative state, to a woke liberal population simply because the rural population can't survive. And a huge part of that is because of the federal government. You know, we have, like I said, our housing prices are out of control, and, you know, we're having to buy lumber from Canada and pay three or four times the cost of what it should be. And we're timber rich here in Idaho. We have 33 million acres that are available to us to build. What if we just opened up 1 million acres? That would make a huge amount. That's 1 million out of 33 million. Yet the federal government is controlling the land and resources and keeping the people of Idaho from making those decisions.
Yeah, it's an absolute outrage. It really is. Well, you know, what was one of the first things, or the first thing that Biden did upon becoming president? He killed the XL pipeline. And yeah. Then shortly after, he ended leases for oil and gas folks that wanted to get the stuff out of the ground, thereby making us once again dependent on OPEC and Russia and China and God knows where else the energy comes from. Argentina, I suppose. We can't be energy independent in this country like we were under Trump, under Democrat rule. And it's an absolute outrage. One more screen share here. The five reasons to support Ammon Bundy for governor. Well, we'll click on that. What are they? Oh, I love this. Elimination of property tax. This is amazing. And elimination of personal income tax. Well, you got my vote. Those are two of the things that outrage me the most beyond federal government overreach. Implement restitution and restoration laws. Take back federal land in Idaho. Amen. And number five, executive order to end abortions. This is all music to my ears. Now, let me ask you this. You're running as an independent because you don't want to be beholden to a corrupt GOP, but now you're not part of the primary. Is that a good thing, a bad thing? How does that affect your chances to become governor?
Oh, it's a great thing right now. So I was running as a Republican. I fully intended to run as a Republican. I did for 7 months or so. The Republican Party came out against me. The establishment leaders in the Republican Party hate me. They lost their minds when I filed to run, you know, as governor, and you know, got international attention. They began to immediately, you know, send information brochures out against me. And then I began to really see the dynamics of the state. And what's been happening is that we've got 120,000 government employees in Idaho that reside in Idaho. And them and their families end up being a voting block of about 300,000 people. And they have dominated the Republican primaries and kept the establishment in power for almost 40 years now, almost four decades in Idaho. Yet they haven't pushed a conservative agenda or even the Republican platform at all. Our taxes are high. We've got, you know, high property tax, high income tax. We still got, abortion. We've got out of control spending in our bureaucracy. So they haven't pushed a conservative agenda at all, even though they've dominated the House, the Senate, and the governor's office. So, you know, I began to see and feel directed to run as an independent. And what that has done is it's literally going to make it so that their plan and plot to control the Republican primaries and then just, you know, coast in through the November elections, it completely interrupts that plan. And if I can unite enough conservatives, because about 50% of the people in Idaho are disgruntled with the Republican Party that are members, we've got over 100,000 that have moved in from California that are conservatives and Oregon and so forth. And then we also have some other, you know, groups. And if I can unite them, statistically, we truly can beat these people. And that's what I hope to do. And it hasn't been done before in Idaho. And the political climate is just perfect for this.
If there's a glimmer of hope, it's that patriots are waking up all over the country. And do remember that in the state of Minnesota, it was Jesse Ventura who shocked the world by becoming governor. And he reports that within a week of becoming governor, he was called down to the belly of the state capitol. And when he opened the door, the room was packed full of people in suits. Actually, he said people from all walks of life, and they were all from the CIA. And they asked him, "How did you get elected? Can you tell us?" And he said, "First, I want each and every one of you to introduce yourselves, tell me your name, tell me what you do for the CIA," and only about half of them would. So that's the state of affairs in the United States. So will you be on every ballot for this election? Can people vote for you? Is that going to happen?
Yes, I will be on. So, you know, the primaries will go through, and then in November, I will be on every ballot. Correct. And, you know, it's interesting how the ballot has been cleaned, where Governor Little and I will be the only two that are on there that have any type of name or influence in Idaho. So it's going to be quite a race. And, you know, we're calling on people all over the country to support me, to support our campaign, to donate, to spread the word of what's happening. And we truly believe that we can prevail over the establishment here. And this establishment is, you know, toe-to-toe, side-by-side, you know, arm-to-arm with the Biden administration. Even President Biden himself came to Idaho and did a video about how great Governor Little was doing. And yet Governor Little wants to act like he's going to fight the federal government. He's received $18.7 billion of federal COVID money, bypassed the legislature so he can determine where it's spent himself. There's no way that he's going to defend or stand up against the federal government to defend and protect the people.
Well, that's just outrageous. $18.7 billion from the federal government. That's how they buy and control these politicians. And it's certainly no longer a government by and for the people. We the people, we all know that. And so we have to support patriots like Ammon Bundy. Any last words, anything I missed, anything you want to talk about, Ammon?
No, I appreciate the time. I hope that people see the situation we're in and the opportunities that we still have. I always want to remind people that we need to act before we are acted upon. Because if we get in a situation where we cannot act and we're just acted upon, we don't have the resources, the ability to defend ourselves and pull ourselves out of a hole that would be caused because of oppression. It's just a terrible situation to be in. We've seen it at other times in history, and we do not want to return to that. And so we need to act while we can. We need to act so that we are not acted upon.
Yeah, one last screen share here, and it's your campaign website here. So I don't have anywhere near the reach I once had when I was on YouTube with 740,000 subscribers. They terminated me, and as did Twitter. But what is the best call to action, given that the current governor has a war chest, undoubtedly? We want to support you. What is a call to action? How can we support you? Is it $20 donations from thousands of people? What's the best way to support you?
That's exactly $20 or more monthly. So we believe we can defeat him in that way. Get thousands of people to donate $20 or more a month. We have a great team to build, you know, media videos. It's expensive, as you know. It's expensive to get it distributed. So we need your donations. Also, be a subscriber. Subscribe at votebundy.com. And when I send stuff out, I send messages out, I send articles, videos, share them everywhere, share them all over. Battle for me out there. It doesn't matter whether you're in the state or not. And get more people to support, more people to donate. And, I am fighting, you know, even, but I believe that we can, he'll outspend me five to one probably. But already we've proven to be way more effective and efficient with our money than he has. And so we're not afraid of him outspending us. That's just going to happen. But what we do is we don't want to have this machine. It's like a semi truck loaded full of gear, getting ready to deliver this message, but we can't pay for the gas. We can't pay for the fuel. So we need you to go and hit that donate button, donate monthly, $20 a month, $50 a month, $100 a month. And I promise you, we won't go past, you know, 7 months. As soon as the Generals is over, we'll be done. And you have done your part and we have done ours. And we hope in the end we will prevail. And if we do, imagine what we can do with Idaho and the example it will set, the bureaucratic expenses that will be cut, the power that will be restored back to the people, the power that will be restored back to the people's representatives, and the example for the world of how making people more free actually creates prosperity, happiness, peace, and just overall a better way to live and a better place to live.
Well, amen. I really appreciate you, man. Like I said at the beginning of the interview, you're an inspiration. So is your family. So are the patriots that stood with you against the FBI and the BLM. And I would just say one last thing here. The powers that ought not be in the mainstream horror media constantly talk about our democracy. It's not a democracy. It's a republic if we choose to keep it. And it will be a great day in my life if I hear the news of Ammon Bundy becoming governor of Idaho and the day you're sworn in. Well, we'll have to do another interview. I hope when you're a big fancy governor, you'll still come back on.
I hope so too. I'll look forward to it.
All right. Thank you. Ammon Bundy has been our guest, guys. The website is votebundy.com. If you want to back a patriot and make a difference, that's how to do it. Thanks for tuning in, friends. Thank you, Ammon.
Thank you very much.
And friends, thanks so much for tuning in. I'll remind you, for real news every single day for free, you can visit us directly at sgtreport.com. That's the antidote to corporate propaganda and Mockingbird mainstream media lies. May God bless you and your family. Bye-bye.
Just like any mobile device these days, it has cameras and sensors. And just like your phones and social media apps, it does facial recognition. Inside here is 3 grams of shaped explosive. This is how it works.